Good morning, friends, and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm so glad that you've joined us this morning, and I appreciate you joining every Sunday morning. The author of the book of Hebrews writes in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And inasmuch as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been at once offered to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time apart from sin to them that wait for him unto salvation." Some great truths are set forth here. Number one, it is appointed unto men once to die. We don't die over and over again, just once. After that death, we're going to face God in Christ and the Holy Spirit in judgment. Then cometh judgment. Number three, Christ died and offered himself for the sins of many. We can be saved through that blood of Christ. And so when we face God in judgment, we can be ready to be found righteous in his sight. And number four, Jesus will appear a second time. Some, according to premillennialism, have him coming back at the beginning of the rapture and at the end of the rapture, and then after a 1,000-year reign, coming again in judgment. Not three times, not four times, not five times, but he will appear a second time. And then the last truth is, are we waiting for him? Are we saved and waiting for him in a saved relationship? He will appear a second time to them that wait for him unto salvation. We can be saved. We don't have to face damnation. We can face salvation. So great important truths from this passage. This morning, friends, on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to talk about there's a great day coming. We sing that in our songbooks. There's a great day coming. And in just a moment, I want to talk about some great things that are a part of that great judgment day. Are you ready for that great day to come? Are you ready for that judgment day? Friends, we need to be thinking about that. Jesus will be our judge. Let me talk about just some general things about the judgment day this morning. And then I want to talk about a few great things that are going to be a part of that great day. Jesus is going to be our judge. When Paul was preaching in Athens, in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, "The times of ignorance therefore God overlooked, but now he has commanded men that they should all everywhere repent." It's a commandment. Repentance is a commandment. Repentance is turning our heart and our minds and our thoughts and our actions around, turning around from that life of sin. We're not going to do that anymore. And God commands that all men everywhere, this is not just for some people, but for all of us. Why? Well, verse 31, "Inasmuch as he, God, has appointed a day in which he will judge the world." Sometimes I like to talk about appointments that we will keep. Back in Hebrews 9:27, "It is appointed unto man once to die." It is appointed unto man once to die. And here, God has made an appointment in which there will be a judgment day. There are some appointments that we will keep. We cannot ignore them. We cannot just simply say they do not exist. We cannot reschedule them. We cannot skip them. Our appointment with death and our appointment with the judgment day. So, Paul goes on to say, "in which he, God, will judge the world in righteousness." It will be a righteous and fair and just judgment by the man whom he has ordained. Well, who is this, Paul? Well, "whereof he has given assurance unto all men that in he has raised him from the dead." Christ is going to be that judge. 2 Corinthians 5:10, "we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul writes about Christ coming to judge the world, Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead by his appearing and his kingdom. In verse 8 of that same chapter, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but also all of them that have loved his appearing. We have to love Christ and his coming, his first coming, his second coming, and love him to the point to obey his commandments and be ready for him. And we can receive that crown of righteousness as well. Christ is the judge, and all mankind are the judged. You will be there, friend. I will be there. All of us will be there. If we have died, Jesus said, when he comes again, Jesus said there's going to be a resurrection. In John chapter 5 and verse 28, Jesus said, marvel not at this, for the hour comes in which all that are in the tombs, not some, all that are in the tombs shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment. All of us are going to come out of that grave. When the Apostle Paul was preaching to Felix about self-control and righteousness and judgment to come, in Acts chapter 24 and verse 15, Paul said, and having hope toward God, which these also themselves look for, that there shall be a resurrection both of the just and the unjust. Everybody's going to be there. And when Paul got done preaching to Felix and Drusilla and those others that were there, he reasoned of righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come. Felix was terrified and answered, go thy way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I will call thee unto me. I'm not concerned, Paul, about the judgment day right now. You just go your way, and when I find a convenient season, I'll call you back, and maybe we'll talk some more about truth and reality, but I don't want to face reality right now. You just go your way. Is that how you will act? Is that how I will act when we hear the subject of judgment? Well, just put it off. You know, it's Sunday morning, and I've got other things to think about later today. I'm not going to think about the judgment day. We're all going to be raised, friends, and we're all going to have to stand before the judgment bar on high. So Jesus is the judge, and all mankind are the judged. And Jesus' words are going to be the standard of judgment. Somebody says, well, what's going to be the standard? What is my life going to be compared to? What's the law? When you go to a courtroom and you're standing before a judge, your life, whatever you have done, the reason why you're there, it's to be compared to the laws that are on the books in Tennessee, or the laws that are on the books in our country as a whole. Whatever you've been doing is going to be compared and contrasted to the law, the standard. And in the judgment day, it's not Tennessee law or United States law. It's the words of Christ. Jesus said in John 12:48, he that rejects me and receives not my sayings has one that judgeth him. The word that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day. Paul wrote in Romans 2 and verse 16 that the standard of judgment is going to be the gospel of Christ. And if you turn to Revelation chapter 20 with me, I will be referencing this in just a moment later in the lesson. Revelation chapter 20, I want to read 11 through 15. We're told that God's books are going to be opened and we're going to be judged from those books. All of the Jews who lived under the old law of Moses, Genesis through Malachi, they're going to be judged by those books. The 27 books of the New Testament, Matthew through Revelation, that New Testament gospel went into all the world. And so the rest of mankind is going to be judged by those books. That's why, friends, you and I need to get busy reading the New Testament books. That's our standard of judgment, and we need to obey the gospel. We need to be baptized into Christ. If we're an erring Christian, we need to come back to Christ. We're going to be judged by His gospel. Revelation 20, verse 11, John writes, "And I saw a great white throne." In just a minute, we're going to talk about some great things in the judgment day. There's a great day coming. So here's a great white throne, and Him that sat upon it, God, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. When I am baptized into Christ, I'm entered into the Lamb's book of life, like a spiritual registry, if you will. If I fall away, my name is taken out of the book of life. So I need to be mindful of that. I know that because of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5, "He that overcomes shall be thus arrayed in white garments, and I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life." So it's conditioned upon overcoming and living faithfully to the Lord each day. But we need our name written in that book because we've been baptized into Christ. "Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works." The books. God's word. "And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works." That's the second time that shows up. Based upon how we're thinking and living and acting and doing, compared to the gospel, that's going to be our judgment. And friends, if you're not matching up, if I'm not matching up, then we need to change our life. "And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire." There's not going to be any more physical death at this point, or a place where the dead are held. Hades is not going to be needed anymore. "This is the second death, even the lake of fire." And we know from chapter 21 and verse 8 that this is hellfire. "If any was not found in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire," or hell. So we need to obey the gospel and have our names placed in that book of life. And we need to have works that are right in the sight of God. We're going to be judged according to our works. So Jesus is the judge. All mankind are the judged. Jesus' words are the standard for all mankind today. The trial is going to be our thoughts and our actions and our deeds. We're going to be judged according to our deeds. This is mentioned more than once in Scripture. Romans 2, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 5, 10. Here in Revelation chapter 20, twice. Verse 12 and verse 13. It's very important. And the sentence is going to be heaven or hell. Which will you hear, friends? It's a certainty. It is appointed unto man once to die. Then comes the judgment. And once we die, there is no hope to make any change. Between our death and the judgment day is a place called Hades. I just read about that in Revelation chapter 20. And when you turn to Luke 16, verses 19 through 31, you find that this place is the place where all the departed dead go, righteous or unrighteous. The righteous go into Abraham's bosom. The unrighteous go into torment. And there is a gulf fixed where you cannot cross over from one to the other. Read that sometimes, friends. Luke 16, 19 through 31. Some, like the Jehovah's Witness, dismiss that passage and say, well, that was just a parable. It's not real. No, number one, it's not called a parable. And number two, even if it was a parable, which it is not, it would be based upon reality. All of Jesus' parables were based upon real things that actually happened in life. And so it's a real place. He went there after his death and before his resurrection. We know that from Acts chapter 2. He went there. This is a real place. And he said to the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He was in that paradise realm of Hades. It's a real place. And so we can't just simply dismiss Luke 16, 19 through 31 as some sort of fiction or fabrication or false tale. It's real. And we need to learn that once we die, our destiny is fixed. And it will stay that way until the judgment day. And upon the judgment day, we will be assigned our eternal destiny of heaven or hell. Now, in the remaining minutes that we have, I'd like to talk about some great things about the great day of judgment. We sing in our song books, there's a great day coming. First of all, we need to understand that we're going to stand before a great God. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, there was a great white throne and him that sat upon it. We face a great God who made this universe. That shows his greatness right there. And we will have to humbly submit to the Almighty God. He has a good side, he has a severe side. Paul tells us that in Romans 11, 28. 22 through 28 in that section of scripture there. He has a good side and a bad side. We want to face his goodness, not his severity. God is loving. God is gracious. God is merciful. God is forgiving. But it's conditioned upon us obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we don't, then we face his severe side. And Paul talks on different occasions about the wrath to come. That's a statement found a few times by Paul, the wrath to come. Think about that. We face a great God. We want to face his great mercy and grace and forgiveness, not his great wrath. Number two, the great day will have the greatest God and the greatest crowd ever gathered. What's the largest crowd that you have been in? Have you been to a sporting event that might have several thousand people? Have you been to a music concert? What's the largest crowd you've been in? In this crowd will be the humanity of all time. This will be the greatest crowd that has ever been gathered. It will feature every person who has ever lived from Adam and Eve up until the time that Jesus comes again. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 32, "And before him shall be gathered all nations," the greatest crowd ever assembled. And friend, you will be in that crowd, whether you want to or not. I will be in that crowd. So the greatest crowd will stand before the great God. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, I'd like to read these verses. Matthew 25, 31. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man," that's himself, "shall come in his glory," this is the second coming, "and all the angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory." I mentioned before, Acts 17, other passages say that Jesus will be the judge. "And before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left." In Scripture, the place, the right hand, in addition to being the place of authority, is also the place of blessing and reward. So we want to be on Jesus' right hand. "Then shall the King," Jesus, "say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's heaven. Jesus said in John 14, 1 through 3, I go to prepare a place for you. This kingdom prepared for you. Friends, it's waiting. It's prepared. But are you prepared to go there? Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And we prepare ourselves by obeying the gospel and living faithfully each day. For I was hungry, and you gave me to eat, and I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink, and I was a stranger, and you took me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, and fed thee, or athirst, and gave thee a drink? And when did we see thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? And when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer unto them, and say, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it unto me, one of these, my least of my brethren, even the least, you did it unto me. Then shall you say to them, he shall say to them, excuse me, on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. This is what we read earlier, the lake of fire, which is the second death. It's prepared for the devil and his angels. A lot of times I get asked, you know, why would God make a hell and send people to hell? God is not sending people to hell. You make that choice in your life, and he's rewarding you based upon the choice that you made. He's not sending you there. You are sending yourself there. And he didn't make hell for you and me. He made hell for the devil and his angels. If you end up there, and if I end up there, it's not because God wants us to go there. And he is sending us there in the sense of making that our destiny against our will. We choose that path. We choose the broad way that leads to destruction. And he simply rewards us for the choices that we have made, good or bad. Remember, friends, hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. God doesn't want you to go there. He wants the devil and his angels to go there, absolutely, but not you. And that's why he sent his son to die on the cross for your sins and mine. Let's make the right choice to obey the gospel and go to the kingdom that is prepared for you, not the hell that is prepared for the devil and his angels. And so we find in verse 42, I was hungry, and you did not give me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in, naked, and you clothed me not, in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer and say, Lord, when saw thee we hungry and thirsty and stranger and naked and sick or in prison and did not minister? Then shall they answer, he shall answer, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of these least, you did it not unto me. Jesus is talking about his followers who will become disciples and Christians. Jesus, in this setting, goes back to chapter 24 and verse 3. He's sitting on the Mount of Olives, and he's talking to his disciples. It's a very small group. He tells them first about the destruction of Jerusalem and then his second coming. And he's looking at these disciples and he's teaching them that when people do these good works toward you and those who follow me, they are doing it toward me themselves. And these shall go away into eternal punishment, the ones who mistreat the disciples and the Lord, but the righteous into eternal life. Two rewards there. So, the great God, the great crowd, number three, the great book. We've already talked about Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. The books were open. The greatest books will ever be opened. The Bible is a collection of 66 books that will be opened. The greatest message that has ever been written of all time. And Jesus' words that are spoken will judge us in the last day. And the gospel will judge us in the last day. We better get to reading and studying and obeying this great book. Right? Right? We have this one life, friends. Let's get busy. And if I can help you to do that, let's get together and study the Word of God and learn it and understand it and obey it while we can. There's a great day coming. And then the greatest judge will be there of all times. Paul put it this way in Romans 2 and verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Christ is going to be the greatest judge ever, the divine Son of God, the sinless divine Son of God. When you stand before a judge in a courtroom in Clarksville or wherever you're listening, you're standing before a human being. You're not standing before the divine Son of God. Number two, you're standing before someone who has sinned in their own life and made mistakes and wrongs in their own life. Jesus has never sinned once. He's the perfect, sinless Son of God. Number three, the man that you're standing before, or the woman, they may or may not be fair and just and right according to the law. They might have bias. That's not going to be the case with Jesus. It will be completely righteous and just and fair. There will not be one unfair judgment passed down out of the millions and millions and millions of people that are going to come to that judgment bar on high. Not one time will there be a mistrial or improper procedures or any kind of unfairness. It's just not going to happen. And so the greatest judge to ever sit on a judgment seat. What a great thing that is. And we know then that it will be fair. If we get sentenced to heaven, it will be completely fair, or hell, the same thing. And then there will be the greatest separation ever known. He shall separate one from another as the sheep separates the sheep from the goats. There will be a great day. And Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 that those who do not obey the gospel shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. We will not be able to be in God's sight. We will be in hell. The greatest separation ever. If you've ever been separated from family or loved ones or a spouse or anything like that, this will be so much greater than that. It will be extreme anguish and peril and hurt and torment. We do not want that. And then last of all, the greatest reward ever handed down. It will be the reward of eternal life in heaven or eternal punishment in hell. Friends, there's a great day coming. Let me help you to prepare for that. Thank you for joining us, and I hope that you'll have a great day.